Hello everyone, hope you're all doing great today and enjoy these stories. If you want early access to my videos, then make sure you check out my Patreon and make sure you check out my podcast in the description too, where you can hear all of my videos over there. I'd like to share this very briefly, and it's something I've said a few times, but I think if you can do some kind of regular exercise, it can do the world of good for your mental health. You don't have to do too much, but try and do a little bit consistently and you might see a big difference, so make sure you try it. So I hope everybody's doing great and enjoys these stories. I'll speak to you all soon. Me and my family went on a short road trip a number of years ago. The time of this event was actually in the 1980s, so a good while before you had decent cell phones. We also didn't really have much in the way of satellite navigation back then, so it meant you basically had to rely on maps, and that wasn't always so easy. It was my dad, my brother and I on this particular journey, and me and my brother were acting as key navigators for my father. Now, to say that didn't go well would be an understatement, because we ended up miles and miles away from where we're supposed to be. And we basically ended up changing the place that we were going to camp at, just to make things easier. My dad wasn't that bothered though, and we settled into the area that we can park and camp. We did originally plan on setting up our tents, but it was quite late and we just settled down. We're figuring out what we need to do, and my dad suggests that we still make it to the other place because it was close to a beautiful national park and there was going to be lots we could see. We all agree with this and we settle in for the night. Nothing much happened, I just had a feeling that I couldn't sleep easily. When we woke up, someone who was dressed in a hat came over to us. It was clearly a park ranger who said something pretty weird to us. He said, "Hey, I'm gonna have to kick you out of here." We said, "Oh, sorry, we didn't realize this was somewhere we couldn't park or stay." And he said, "No, just you're not supposed to be here." Something about this person seemed really odd, and my dad gave him a funny look and quickly ushered us to get our things ready and drive away. Now, on the drive back, me and my brother kept asking my dad what was wrong and why he looked a bit unsettled. And he then said that there aren't supposed to be any park rangers out here. I thought that was pretty bizarre, but I thought, you know, maybe they've just expanded somewhere and we didn't realise it. I was pretty paranoid, because, I don't know, I was young, but my dad seemed worse than me, and that was a bit worrying because my dad's a pretty strong person, and I've never really seen him worry much before. Eventually though, we start making our way to where we're actually supposed to be originally. I don't know, it was kind of a good thing that we got there because I didn't want to spend another night in that place. You know when you feel like somebody's just going to linger around for a stupidly long time for no reason? Yeah, I kind of had the feeling that that was going to happen again. Now, to say this trip was eventful would be an understatement, as you're about to hear. Now, we eventually get to this place and my god, it's beautiful. I've seen some pretty good things in my time, but not much can compare to how beautiful this place was and my dad took us. I was really grateful for it and I found it a really nice adventure to have. I thought it was really funny what had happened earlier. My dad actually settled up a lot and we started to feel pretty good. So eventually we set up our tent and get ready to sleep. That was when it happened. We hear some screaming. And it was really creepy. I don't know whether there was some kind of animals getting into some big fight outside, but that's what it sounded like. Until eventually, it sounds just like there was some kind of human intervention. My dad says to wait here as he goes outside the tent, and I can hear him talking to someone. The screaming sounds have stopped, and I think this is pretty bizarre, because my god, did it sound like there was all hellfire earlier, so what happened? Me and my brother slowly emerged. I remembered it was very cold outside and my dad was saying to someone, "No, just go away," and actually swearing. That's when I realised it was the same ranger that we had seen before. How on God's green earth had this person managed to get to the exact same spot as us again? "It's not possible," I said to my brother and thought that maybe it was someone who just looked very similar, but this guy sounded exactly the same. Eventually, this guy scurried off, and my dad said something about being armed to him, and that seemed to make this person change their tone. They just slowly disappear into the trees like they weren't there before. Another weird thing that I noticed is that this person looks very tired and sweaty, almost like they've been in some kind of big fight, but with who? With what? That we just didn't know. Now, discussing it the next morning wasn't really an option because my dad was really focused in. From early in the morning, he had gone round with his knife and was just patrolling the perimeter like he was looking for something. Me and my brother then say, "Dad, what are you doing?" And he just shakes his head and says, "No, something's just off with that guy and I don't know why. I just can't stop thinking about it." We eventually all agree that we should move our campsite because we don't want to have our trip ruined by some weirdo, but it was really looking that way. So we now go a bit deeper into the woods. We eventually find another really safe place to go, and it's pretty cool. It's kind of up on a hill and you have a good vantage point here, so we're feeling a lot safer now, and we go about our day like usual. We've set up the tent and are getting ready for this night's sleep too. We're not too far from the end of our trip now, and we were actually enjoying it. However, this one particular night, my dad just would not fall asleep. Eventually, me and my brother do though, and we wake up the next morning, and my dad looks like he hasn't had any sleep at all. I say, "Dad, what's wrong?" And he says, "Well, nothing." We then keep on pressing him to find out what had happened, and again, he doesn't say anything at first, until eventually, he finally lets off on what happened. Apparently, all night he was sure that he could see the silhouette of someone who appeared to be dressed just like a park ranger, and it scared my dad a lot. We decide that we're going to man out the last night because again we're armed and we're at quite a good point here, but something just felt off about this person. So anyway, what happens? We go to fall asleep the next day and here we are again. Blood-curdling screams that you cannot seem to get away from, and it's really annoying because clearly this is some kind of animal out here and it will not stop making these weird sounds. But then again, we didn't really consider the fact that maybe, just maybe, this was people going at it and maybe trying to kill each other. Well, at least that's what my dad said. Every time we raised the alarm, he said, no, don't worry, just go to sleep. If anyone comes, I'll get them with my life. Now, that reassured us a lot, and we fall asleep again. Now, everything's as it should be the next morning, and we get our things together and decide to go. However, while leaving, we do realise something odd. There's blood, and a lot of it. It's only about a 4-minute walk from our tent, but it almost looks like somebody's had a massive sword fight. No, multiple people have had a big sword fight like back in the day. But where are the bodies? The amount of blood on the floor is honestly inhuman, and there must have been at least one or two morbidities. But nobody's around. And the smell, it smelled so bad. Honestly, like something we've never smelt before. And you can imagine we didn't stick around too long for this. My dad intelligently mentions that if this is what he thinks it is, then we don't want to put our forensics there. Forensics wasn't very advanced back then, but we weren't silly and keep it moving. My dad then goes over to the station to report what's happened, and that's when we see it. All kinds of police cars everywhere, and some law enforcement's coming to approach us. They tell us not to move and we don't, and my dad goes over to talk to them. I don't know exactly what he said, but they actually come and cuff him and us, and we have to go in to give some statements. They don't let on to exactly what's happened, but they just ask exactly why we're out there and what we're doing. Again, I didn't realise this until afterwards, but they actually interviewed all of us independently to make sure that our stories matched up. They asked for the exact spot where we camped, and my dad eventually leads them over there. Me and my brother have to stay with the police, who will not tell us what happened. Eventually though, after persisting, one of them opens up and says, "You know they found a few bodies out there?" Me and my brother look at each other, terrified now. It was almost like we didn't want to accept that we'd just walked through a crime scene, but that was exactly what had happened. Apparently, there were reports of somebody imitating some kind of law enforcement or something following people around, then getting them in the night. And apparently this wasn't the first time that it had happened out here. Now my dad comes back after a while and says, come on, let's go. None of us said a word to each other as the police open up their tape and let us through. Now the drive back was pretty much entirely in silence until we pull off on the driveway and my dad looks me and my brother dead in the eyes and tells us, hey, you don't tell anyone about what happened, alright? Especially not your mother. And we both agree with this, and that's that. So after doing some research later, it turns out that somebody would dress up like a police or park ranger and just try and look official in order to follow people around, and this person actually ended up murdering almost 4 people. It turned out we were camping in basically the exact spot where one of the murders took place, and there's a pretty strong chance that he was actually following us, but we were the lucky ones who got away. It still terrifies me. I mean, I don't think I'll ever get over this. In December of 2005, me and a few high school friends were back home from our respective universities. We were juniors at the time and started a tradition winter break of freshman year to visit random state parks / smaller towns and explore them, along with the occasional mischief that we would end up getting ourselves into. During these times, one night trips, the three of us would all sleep in the back of my Tahoe on a large mattress pad. This kept us safe from the elements and set my paranoid mind at ease should we be subject to any foul play. We decided this year to go to the Davy Crockett National Forest area. This area has many places that are extremely rural and desolate, which was exciting because we had previously found some interesting things and abandoned structures on our previous excursions. I had used up the rest of my university printing credits to print detailed MapQuest pages for us to navigate while we were visiting. The drive was roughly 2 hours from our hometown, Conroe. We decided to start the trip off in Lufkin, just east of the National Forest, to eat dinner and get a few things from Walmart. After dinner, we decided to mess around and get into our shenanigans. A few hours later, we found ourselves in Crockett, Texas, about an hour west of Lufkin. We planned on staying in a campground about halfway between the two cities, so had a lot of flexibility when it came time. We explored random roads and went in a few abandoned buildings before getting bored and wanting to go somewhere else. By this time, it was 12:30 a.m. and at this point, I needed to get an energy boost, so we decided to stop at a gas station in Kennard, Texas, which was about 30 minutes east of Crockett. I go inside and buy a few snacks, energy drinks, and a few cans of Skol to give us some fuel for the rest of the night, which is giving me a nice buzz. We decide to go a little more adventurous and venture down FM 357 south of Kennard. We come across a few Forest Service roads that veered off into rural residential roads and other country roads. I pull off on the side of the road to check the MapQuest and match the cross streets we're on at any given moment with my two friends assisting the navigation. After getting back onto the road, I notice it's 1:30 a.m. and we all joke about how miraculously that we're still up. I decide to head down to the next service road we come across. This is where things start to get pretty weird, and where parts of my memory are erased due to sheer adrenaline that I had at the time. After driving down a few more service roads and taking random turns, we go to a road that is much more narrow compared to the others. By this time, I get incredibly frustrated. I mean, it's almost 2:15 a.m. and I don't want to stumble into someone's front yard in a rural area in the middle of the night. I decide to slow down, and suddenly, I noticed a faint light in the distance. Great, just great, I think. I thought about the chance of spooking some random soul awake, but about 30 seconds later, I can tell that these are headlights, but they suddenly disappeared. I thought somebody may have turned up ahead, but I was very wrong. About 10 to 15 seconds later, I see what appeared to be a brand new Chevy Suburban. The second I put my high beams on, its light turned on and three men dressed in suits jump out and sprint down the road past my car. It was almost like they were lifeless and didn't even notice me. As they're running past me, the Suburban suddenly shifts into reverse and conducts the fastest reverse maneuver I've ever seen. At this point, I unholster my G26 and tell my friend to grab my AR. We're all terrified and have no clue what we're about to come upon. As we drove forward, mind you, these were the days where cell phone coverage was literally non-existent in many areas of the state, so we had no way to call for help if anything happened. As we reach the end of the road, we come upon FM 357, the same road we originated from. But how is this possible? I thought. It felt like we're just venturing further and further away from the road, and we passed a US Forest Service fire station again on the way out like we had on the way in. I've recently checked Google Maps for any US Forest Service fire station off of FM 357 and can't find any current or past historical data for that. The county tax assessor does not have any listings either. We got back on the FM 357 and decided to book it downtown Crockett, as we did not feel comfortable with sleeping in a campsite after what just happened. I have since made sure to never venture down any unknown roads whatsoever, without at least referencing the GPS or map. I'm still processing that short but unsettling event. Where did those men come from? Why were they in suits in the middle of the forest, and where did the black Suburban go? Me and my friends actually still occasionally talk about the incident, and no one can come up with an explanation for what happened. The thing that bothers me is that I cannot find any evidence of this road that we're on. Google Earth doesn't have a satellite or any kind of image which lines up with the one that we're on, so this one and truly deepens the mystery of it all. So, this happened in 1989. I was with my boyfriend Eddie, his best friend, my older sister Angie, and about six other people. We'd spent the entire day mudding in the Royal Palm Mud Flats in Royal Palm Beach, Florida, aka the part of the Palm Beach County. I grew up in West Palm Beach. I had never seen anything like this before. After mudding all day, we decided to call it a night and leave. Almost everybody was gone by then, so we all piled into Eddie's truck and left. Eddie saw a small mud hole and drove through it, and we got stuck. The small hole was relatively deceptive. When I say we got stuck, I mean stuck for hours. I was pregnant with my first, so I was steering as the other nine are pushing. The truck didn't budge. We had no choice but to wait until the morning for someone to come and tow us, as we're now completely stuck. It's about 5 a.m. We decide we should just relax and try to sleep until someone come through. Eddie, I, and his best friends are in front. My sister and other six, who we are still friends to this day, pile into the back and start to settle down. We were still making noise when I heard a sound. It was a low grumble. I knew immediately that it was some kind of animal. I tell everyone to hush and listen. Then we all heard it, and it was getting louder and louder and more aggressive sounding now. Eddie has a KC light in his back seat, so he popped it out and lit up the night. That's when our world changed. 10 of us all see something ducking down and moving. Everyone was freaking out because it was clearly there. But what was it? Then it got annoyed, and this thing stood up and let out a roar that I can still remember 31 years later. It leapt through the large brush that it was hiding behind, coming straight towards us, and you can literally feel the shake with every footstep it took. It was 8 to 9 feet tall and broad. It looked like an extremely large man with hair, not fur, it had hair and lots of it. The KC lit it up, and you could see it clumping on the hair. The smell was rotten and sour, and being pregnant, I was extremely sensitive to smell, so it was bad. We had spent hours, we're talking 5+ hours, trying to push this truck out. They say adrenaline gives you super strength, and they're right. Eddie turned on his truck and starts pushing on the door frame. His bestie leapt out of his side and did the same. My sister and the others let out screams as they piled out. And then, all you hear is this thing running and roaring. Everybody else was dead silent as they put everything they needed back and start pushing. With a sucking pop, that's all I can describe it as, we're out and we're throwing ourselves into the back as Eddie and his bestie just floor it. This is woods with tight turns, and we literally flew around those. It felt like the devil himself was after us. After we got out and onto the main road, we headed for a gas station to calm down and call our families. When we got there, we all got out, sat with our backs to the wall, and that was it. We never said a word to each other, just sitting there in silence. I think we were too raw, scared and in complete shock over what had happened. This was lore. This wasn't real, so why did it exist because it was there? Anyway, after we called our parents and went home, one by one being dropped off, not a word was spoken. My sister and I did not discuss it until about 5 years ago, and we finally opened up about it and to others. It's kind of burned into my memory, and I don't know what it is, but it looked just like a Bigfoot. I was going on a road trip with my brother. I hadn't done so before, and we were both very excited to be doing so. We were going to drive across a few different states, and for that I was very excited. The destination was eventually getting to Canada, and that was really the highlight of the trip. We had such a good time when we eventually make it there, but however, during the trip there was one particular event that I don't think I'm ever going to forget. Now let me set the scene. We've been driving for quite a long time, and we didn't come across anywhere to fill up on gas. We also needed to get some more food and thing. I mean, we had enough of, as you say, proper food, but we wanted to get more snacks and stuff, and we're both getting a little bit tired. Now, both of us are pretty good drivers, and we didn't have an issue driving, even if we're a little sleepy, but as you know, that can be quite dangerous. So, we eventually find a gas station that looks pretty good, and we pull over there. We fill up on some gas, and we go inside the store and pay for the gas. We also look around and start getting some snacks and things, and I don't know why, the guy at the counter just felt pretty weird. He seemed nice enough at first, but for some reason, as soon as he heard we're out of town, he kind of changed and just stared at us. It was almost like it wasn't a real person and it was some kind of NPC put there. I don't know how to describe it, but the whole thing just felt a bit surreal. We eventually get the snacks as well and leave and tell him to keep the change, thinking maybe that'll make him more happy, but he literally doesn't react at all. We eventually make it back out, and my brother says, "Oh, I really need to use a bathroom," and quickly heads back. I say that I'm gonna wait, and he goes in the store, and this is what he tells me. Apparently the guy was staring at him the whole time back in and didn't say hello or anything when he re-entered. He said that he really needed to use a bathroom, and the guy said he'd show him, and apparently he led him to some really dodgy back area, and it looked like he was going to be trapped, and he said, "Yeah, the light's next to the toilet, you'll find it," and went and closed the door. My brother said that he just stood there completely bewildered and confused about what had happened, and he knew he wasn't going to go there. He felt like he was being set up. What's worst is he can quietly hear the door being locked behind him. Rather than panic here, my brother rather smartly went through an open window and come back to me. He quickly gets in and says, "Hey, let's just get driving." Now, we probably only went about a minute further down the road before the sky lights up a bit brighter. And then, a few seconds later, we're hit with a very loud explosion sound, and it makes me almost crash into a tree. We both look at each other confused as to what's happening, and honestly, we thought that there was some kind of foreign force invading our country. After a number of minutes, we manage to settle down and realize that this isn't the case. Now, we decide that we're going to slowly head back and see what happened, and we're hit with how dark it is. We didn't have to turn around for long before we can see the burning embers where the gas station was. Thinking that guy's just blew himself to pieces in some kind of accident, we frantically call for the cops. We pull over and get out and decide that we need to go and see if he's okay. And that's when we see him. We can see the silhouette of him standing, staring into the flames about 30 meters ahead of us. We both look at each other and slowly make it back to the car and start driving. We drove for another good 5 hours before eventually stopping, and we don't know what to make of it. Even to this day, we don't know whether that guy was setting up to kill my brother for whatever reason, but I just thank God that he managed to get out in one piece.